Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we missed a couple of services along the way, and it's been a while since we've been here in Genesis, but coming back to the third chapter and the temptation of Eve, you know, it's interesting, as you look, we begin this book, and we saw that in the creation story, and, you know, it's a true account, happened just exactly as the way it's recorded. You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then there was something that happened, and we get a clue in the 14th chapter of Isaiah and also again in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel what happened to cause the original creation, you know, of the earth, for the earth to be in darkness. Now, if you think about it, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. And we're reading about that here in the third chapter, where Eve was deceived by the serpent, and he promised her what she already had. And she was deceived. She ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God had warned not to eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die, is the way that would be a proper translation from the Hebrew. So dying, since we're born, we begin to die. And it can take, you know, a few hours, a few weeks, a few months, a few years, or, you know, last night in Trump's State of Union address, when the that Muskegee Airman was honored, and the Muskegee Airman, really it was a very racially biased thing that the Air Force, of course at that time it was the Army Air Corps, they didn't think the Negroes were bright enough to be able to fly airplanes. Yeah, now you talk about. Racism, that's racism, yeah. But they finally formed a unit, and they flew P-51 fighters, and the tails of the planes were painted red so that the bombers would know that they were being escorted by these guys, and they did a tremendous job of protecting our bombers, yeah. And, but it was that, you know, racially prejudiced stuff. No, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And is there racism? Yeah. All the time. You know? And but it's not just one way. You know? People, prefer themselves to other people and so on and so forth, and you can do that in a biased way, or you can do it in a way where you recognize that, we're all sinners and we're all related. And we're related to Adam, and because we're related to Adam, death is working in us. Because we're related to Adam, we have a sin nature. You know? And that sin nature manifests itself in all kinds of ways that it shouldn't, but it's going to. You know, so in that allegory, and it's historical, but it's also allegorical about the creation, you know, on the God said, let there be light. Well, when the gospel was first preached, and I recognized that I was a sinner and Christ died for me, he said, let there be light. And I can remember after being baptized that night, talking with Brother Stewart, as we were getting dressed in his office, I was 21 years old, and I thought I should know something about the Bible, you know. And I said, I'm ashamed to say this. He didn't scoff at me for any of this. I said, I'm ashamed to say this. I don't know anything about the Bible, you know. And so he gave me a few things, and, you know. But God knew all about us before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. The particular spiritual gifts that you have and that I have, he knew, all about those from all creation, from all eternity. So that as we get into the Bible then, and we begin to study and compare Scripture with Scripture, then we can see that in the recreation, let there be light. That's what happens when we preach the gospel and people are saved. You know, how much do they know at that moment in time? Very little. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And that's why, you know, we encourage people to attend all of the services if they can, or as many as they can, you know, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And, you know, you can go over the same things again and again, and really there's only one story from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and it's his story. Now, if you want to make a play on words, H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, what is that? History. And that's what history is, you know, because the history of this world is all about bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ. So God had warned them not to eat of the tree, and we've seen how the serpent was subtle, you know, and he tricked Eve, and he promised her something that she already had, you know. He says, and he used God as the prod, so to speak, to get her to do something contrary to what God had said. He said, Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like him. You'll be like Elohim. Yeah. Elohim is the plural form of the word God, and our God is a triune God. And those of us who are unsaved are two parts. We have a body and a soul. And when we get our spirit that died in Adam regenerated in Christ, then we're three-part beings. And so we're body, we're soul, and we are spirit. And God's spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're his. You know? And so there's a, you know, and actually Jesus promised in the 14th chapter of John that the, you know, the Holy Spirit was promised, and he said, okay, he was with you, and now he'll be in you. And then after that, in that same 14th chapter, and he says, I and my Father will come and make our abode within you. So when we put that together, we're indwelt by the entire Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when we're praying, we don't have to, be in a chapel, or in on our knees, or in any particular position. You know, we can talk to God anytime. He's with us. He's in us. You know? And he knows all about us before we ever ask, but he wants us to ask, you know, and that's important. But the world takes what the Word of God says, and they kind of, what is the term? It's kind of like at, when you're at a smorgasbord and you pick a little of this and pick a little bit of that, you know. And there's all of these things laid out, and you know, if you're not very adventuresome, you're not going to take some of the eel and eat it or whatever. Yeah. But the point is, the Word of God has something for all of us, you know. And the primary thing that it has for all of us is salvation is revealed, and it's constantly revealed. You know? And it was known to God from all eternity that when he created man and created the universe, that he would have to judge it because of the serpent. And that was a portrayal of man. He creates him, and he knew that man, that the woman would be deceived, and the man would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and plunge the whole human race into sin. And it's amazing to me that so many theologians miss the fact that it's that one sin that produced death. You know, when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, the day thou eatest thereof, what, dying, that's the process of aging and dying, thou shalt die. And we died spiritually that moment. Okay. Then when God, after Eve was deceived and Adam willfully ate of the tree, then in the judgment, and let's pick it up here and when the woman, verse 6, saw that the tree was good for food, what would you call that? You satisfy your flesh, that's the lust of the flesh. And over in 1 John, all that was in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And it says what? Is not of the Father. So she saw that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. There's the lust of the eye. And it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. If we could read that in Hebrew, it gave her the idea that she would be able to teach Adam. When we looked at last time we were studying this, that God put a judgment upon the woman so that in the churches, that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. Okay? And Paul said to Timothy, let your women keep silent in the church. Now, that doesn't mean you can't say anything. But it means, and if you've ever been in a church where there's a lot of self-righteous people, both men and women, and the preacher will be preaching away, and all of a sudden the woman will say, oh, you shouldn't say that. That's what Paul's talking about. To try to deny what the man of God is preaching from the pew. And self-righteous women have a tendency, self-righteous men do the same thing, but it's very common. And so that's why I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man. Okay. And it's not that men are smarter or anything of the sort, but Adam was not deceived, Eve was deceived. So when we look at this, she saw the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 for just a moment. Just to remind ourselves, because this is overlooked by so many. It says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world is the cosmos, the order of things since the fall. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, what? The lust of the flesh, it was good for food. The lust of the eyes, it was pleasant to the eyes. And the pride of life, is what? Is not of the Father. Now, every religious system in the world is based upon man's morality. Except in the Old Testament, biblical Judaism, and very few of the Jews really believe. And in the New Testament, biblical Christianity. And just like the majority of the churches, the ones that really get big, are still dealing with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And they're still dealing with man's morality as a way to God, yet in Proverbs, Solomon wrote, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, and there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Two different verses, 14th chapter and 16th chapter. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, when you look at all religions of the world, and if you've ever in universities and so forth, they have comparative religion classes. What is the comparison? The comparison is that all religion is based upon those three things. Man's morality. See? And man can't get to God by his morality. We can't be good enough to satisfy God's holiness, righteousness, and justice. But that was what Eve was deceived with. See? And so when the woman saw that it was good for food, then the eyes of them both in verse 7 were opened. Because she gave to her husband, and they knew that they were naked, and then all of a sudden, because they were naked, oh my goodness, I've never seen you like that before, Eve. You know, because of the lust of the flesh. And so these things are beginning to work, and so they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness, you know. And then, they knew that they were naked. So they made an effort on their part to do what? To cover their nakedness. That's what religion is all about. That isn't what biblical Christianity or biblical Judaism is about. The law was given to establish the guilt of the Jews, and the sacrificial system was given to provide the solution, because it was kind of like a play, you know, being played out before a people, most of whom were, what's the term when you can't read?
Illiterate.
There it is, okay. Yeah, you know, they were illiterate. They weren't, the priests and so forth. They could speak and write in Hebrew and all of that, but the common people, you know, they, most people for a good portion of the history of the world were not literate, you know. Doesn't mean they were dumb, they just didn't have the opportunity for education. So, but man thinks that he can come to God by the life that he lives. That's the lie of the devil. And that produced the singular sin that causes all of us to die. Okay. And so, we started to look at this, God took them, he judged them, and then he promised Adam and Eve, he said in verse 14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this in deceiving the woman, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. So this is why when women give birth, you know, there is a process there that's not, you know, exactly fun. Okay? So, and so when God brought before them, you know, he said unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened in verse 17 unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That's why it's so hard to garden, it's so hard to farm, it's so hard, you know. You labor, you know, until you can't labor anymore, and then you die. You know, this seems so futile. And without the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be futile. But God promised right from the beginning that he would bring the Savior who would judge the serpent. And because he would judge the serpent, that he would give to us eternal life and we should never perish. So he says, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. So until the flood, all animals and man were all herbivorous, vegetarians. You know, so everybody was a vegan, even the lions. You know, say, what until after the flood? You know, if you think about that. It was necessary for it to be that way because God knew he was going to judge the earth and he knew he was going to judge it by a flood and he knew that, Noah was going to build that ark according to God's instructions and that they were going to put two males and two females of each of the unclean animals and seven males and seven females of all of the clean animals that are used for sacrifice. And people don't read that right. They think, it went in two by two, one male, one female. No, it's two males and two females and seven males. And then the skeptics say, how come, you know, one of those pairings didn't have a mate? Yeah. Because they can't read the scriptures. I mean, not even for the just the facts that are there, you know. The natural man just does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And so Adam called his wife's name Eve. Now, Eve means life giver. You know, now, he's not referring to the fact that she's going to, you know, through the sexual union, that she's going to produce children, and those children are going to produce children, you know. And so in the natural realm, but ultimately, this is a reference to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It will be a woman that will bring the Christ into the world without the aid of a man. See, Adam was created, you know, and then Eve was created without a woman from Adam. And Paul speaks about that over in Corinthians, you know. The first woman came from man. After that, all of us come by progeneration. Therefore, we all have a sin nature, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and our blood comes from our Father. You know, don't ask me how the process works. It's just, that's what God says, and that's the way it works. And when you have paternity suits and that type of thing, they used to do it by blood type. Now they can do it by DNA and all that kind of thing to see whether you're related. But, we're all related, and God spoke to it to the Athenians through Paul and said, God has made of one blood all of the families of the earth. So Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So that shows that Adam believed the promise that she would be a life giver. Well, in the natural realm, she was, but in the spiritual realm, it's the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. So unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, for 2,500 years of human history, from the creation of Adam until the time of the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt and the formation of the nation of Israel, and the sacrificial system, you know, that all came in. And there was a sacrificial system prior to that. But the bottom line is that, God, the Jews were given the opportunity to be under the law. And rather than looking at it and saying, there's no way we can keep this, they said what? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now that's the deception that came upon Eve, because she listened to the serpent. And that's the deception that is on the whole world because of the sin of Adam. Now let's go back to the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. And we're going to expand upon this and see that, you know, what starts in Genesis is completed somewhere else throughout the scriptures. And ultimately, you know, we have the original creation, then we have the creation of the recreation of the earth, and then when we get to the place where, after the millennial reign of Christ, God's going to create a what? A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And in the new heaven and new earth, you know, there isn't going to be any the sunlight. We won't get our light from the sun anymore. We'll get our light from God. Yeah. Because Jesus Christ will be the light of the city. Yeah. And so, in the typology of Scripture, and that's just why so many people worship the sun, you know, the light comes from the sun. Without that sunlight, there's no life. You know. And these things in the natural realm portray spiritual truth. And so when we come to this fifth chapter of Romans, we're reading again about the fall of Adam and Eve, and wherefore in verse 12, as one man, by one man, not sin, the sin, a particular sin, one sin, came into the world, you know, and death by the sin. So when we look over at the sixth chapter of Romans and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin, that's where the translators translated it, but there's a definite article in the Greek that they didn't translate. In fact, from verse 12 in the fifth chapter to verse 3 in the eighth chapter, we have sin in the singular 30 times preceded by the definite article, and the translators didn't translate a single one. And we're not talking about sin in general, we're talking about sin in the specific, Adam's sin. Okay? And it's amazing to me that how so many theologians down through the ages have just ignored that. It's amazing to me how the King James translators, you know, and we can't assume that those translators were all saved men. They were from the Anglican Church in England, you know, and lots of false doctrine in that church, you know. And Henry VIII, you know, he started his own church because the Pope wouldn't let him marry Anne Boleyn, and so he told the Pope to go to hell. He'd start his own religion because he figured the king ought to be the head of the church rather than the Pope. And so, who is the head of the church in England? The king. Or, without a king, the queen. Okay. And so, you know, there's all kinds of error that comes down to us through history and with man's way of looking at things. And so the King James translators didn't see the significance of the definite article. And there, you know, there are people would say, oh, okay, that was just a writing style of Paul. Or that was a writing style, you know, that was necessary in Greek, but not necessary in any other language. It's interesting. Paul used it 30 times between the 12th verse of the 5th chapter and the 3rd verse of the 8th chapter. And then in the other, let's see, Paul wrote, was it 12 or 13 epistles? 12, of, I think it's 12, but it might be 13. Anyway, he only used that that construction, I think it was 6 other times. So it certainly wasn't a writing style, you know, and it certainly wasn't a necessity of the Greek language. And I put a little paper here. I can tell you exactly what it is. Okay. All right. Here's where you find the definite article before sin on the singular. 30 times in Romans, 6 times in the Gospel of John, 4 times in Hebrews, 3 times in 1 John, 2 times in 1 Corinthians, and once in each of the following, Acts, 2 Thessalonians, and James. So it certainly wasn't a necessity in Greek, and it certainly wasn't a writing style. It was a specific sin, and that specific sin is enlarging upon what we are seeing back in Genesis. So let's follow the enlargement, okay? So, wherefore, as by one man, in verse 12 of the 5th chapter, the sin entered into the world. That's Adam's sin. And death by the sin. So when it says the wages of sin is death, it's the wages of the sin is death. We die because of Adam. Now, Eve was deceived, but Adam was the federal head. So when he sinned, we sinned. And that's why death comes upon all men. And actually, death is a blessing because death allows us to be freed from this body in which we have a sin nature. And then once we die, when we're resurrected, we're going to be resurrected without blood. You know, Because the life that's going to be in us is going to be produced by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and not by Adam's blood. So without Adam's blood flowing in our veins, in the resurrection, we will be in a sinless body that will be made like unto our Lord's glorious body. And if we take that literally, he died at age about 33, in the prime of life. And so, when are men more handsome and women more beautiful? That part of their life, The younger girl, she puts on, she gets rid of her baby fat and a few things like that, and turns into a woman, that's what we're going to be like for all eternity. So looking at this sin then, it says in verse 14 of the fifth chapter, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." So there was no law except not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but because of the federal headship of Adam, when he sinned, we sinned. So death reigned. Okay? And people say, well, that's not fair. But if death could reign because of Adam, then life can reign because of Jesus Christ. And that's what, when you read the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you see that all laid out, contrasting Adam and Christ. As in Adam all dies, so in Christ, all that are in Christ shall be made alive. So he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, death reigned," in verse 14, "from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." They couldn't. They were barred from the garden by the cherubim. "Who is the figure of him that was to come?" How is Adam a type of Christ? Adam gave his life for his wife. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for what? His wife. Because the redeemed of all ages, if you read the 21st chapter of the Revelation, whoever's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life will be a resident of the New Jerusalem. And if you're a resident of the New Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem is the bride, Christ's wife. Okay? And we've got all kinds of religions, Roman Catholic Church, Church of Christ, various denominations that claim that they solely are the bride of Christ. Amongst Baptists, missionary Baptists say, we're the bride of Christ. What is that? That's man's ego running rampant when there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Okay? And since God is not a respecter of persons, wouldn't it be a kind of a respecter of persons if you just take a group of people from the time of Christ till now and let them be his bride? Well, what about Adam? And his posterity, and Abel, and those that believe, and Seth, come right down through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were redeemed in the Old Testament. And the redeemed of the Old Testament will be raised in resurrection and be a member. Let's go back to Revelation 21. It says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth," in verse 1, and then in verse 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now, let's jump ahead. And it says, let's begin at verse 23. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved, the nations of them which are saved, you know, and that goes all the way back to Adam. They shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but who? But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now we go back a couple of chapters, and whosoever was not found in verse 15 of the 20th chapter, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where? Into the lake of fire. So this singular idea of just the New Testament church being the bride of Christ, or the Roman church being the bride of Christ, or the church of Christ being the bride of Christ, or any of those scenarios, would make God a what? A respecter of persons. And it would say that, you know, for the better part of the history of mankind, there weren't any people redeemed until Jesus came along in the church age, you know, and began the church age. Yeah. Makes God a respecter of persons, you know. And people, boy, they'll jump up and down, stand on their head, do all kinds of tricks to try to convince you, you know, of this. And what are the people that say, well, we're the bride of Christ. Yeah. We're the bride of Christ because God was merciful and for no other reason. Otherwise, we could what? We could boast. Yeah. And no flesh shall do what? Boast or glory in God's sight. So, go back to that book of Romans again, the fifth chapter. Because we're actually in the fifth chapter of Romans, but we're actually studying what happened in the Garden of Eden. And so as we come along with this, it says, so nevertheless, in verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Nobody was ever able to eat of that tree except Adam and Eve. But death reigns in all of us because Adam ate of it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, comparing Christ and Adam, we see how it works. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. So now we're drawing a negative comparison. You know. So he goes on, for if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So as in Adam all die, so in Christ all were made alive. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. So it's a negative comparison. You know, Adam sinned, so we sin. Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness and died for our sins. And when he resurrects us, we'll be in a glorified body made like unto his glorified body. And why do we have that? Because he stood in our stead in life and in death. He fulfilled the law and he fulfilled all righteousness. So that's why we have a not here, a negative comparison. So it's a comparison, but you know, one produces death, the other produces life. So it says, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know, Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at the instigation of Eve. And I think that Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He threw himself upon the grace of God. So in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See, so one man plunges us into sin, one man, you know. So when these people, with their comparative religions, they're trying to make any and every religion of the world, you know, a path to heaven. Makes no sense at all. That's the lie of the devil. Okay? By man's morality, that's what religion is based upon. A knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? That's what we call morality. Okay? And all religions of the world are based upon morality. But biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity are based upon the sacrifice of a vicarious atonement, you know, a substitutionary sacrifice. In the case of the Jews, it was portrayed in animals, and in the case of the church, it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, God who became man through the virgin birth so he could do what no other man could do, keep every jot and tittle of law and all righteousness, and die a ransom for sin. And then, not only to die, but to rise again from the dead. You know, he says, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. So we as believers in Jesus Christ never need to be ashamed, you know, or think that we have to dance around the maypole, so to speak, when we're talking to people. Tell them the truth. You know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The lie of the devil can't help anybody but produce death. And he's the minister of death. So he goes on to say then, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, in verse 18, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men and the justification of life. That doesn't mean all men believe, but it's available to all. Okay. And so, for as by one man's disobedience, that was Adam's, many were made sinners, or the whole human family were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know, so for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're made righteous. His righteousness is imputed or charged to our account. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The Jews, if you look at that motley crew in Egypt, every time that God judged one of the 10 gods of Egypt and Pharaoh increased the burden upon the Jews, what did they do? They moaned, they groaned, they complained. They told Aaron and Moses to knock it off. And in fact, they even threatened them to take their lives because Pharaoh would increase the burden upon them, but they blamed Moses and Aaron because they were judging the false gods of Egypt. And, you know, I can't help it that the religions of the world all lead to hell. You know, that's the devil's fault. And Eve ate of the tree that produced that condition. You know, and then Adam ate of it so that God could be merciful and produce the solution to that condition. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that's not we're going around, well, we're better than you are, you know. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know, we're sinners saved by grace, and grace is unmerited favor. Let me read to the end of the chapter, and we'll come back to this next time. So, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded. Now, what was the sin? You can be like God by disobeying God. By a counterfeit image of God, morality. See? Knowing the difference between right and wrong. See, because that's what the devil's lie said. God knows, Elohim knows, that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as Elohim. No. Have you ever seen anybody, no matter what religion they are in the world, that is even close to the revelation of God in the Scriptures? Absolutely not. You know. And so he goes on, but where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and it's really the grace did much more abound, that as the sin hath reigned unto death, so might grace, or the grace, reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we just put the third chapter of Genesis into this fifth chapter of Romans, and we see what we're talking about, and we see it over there in 1 John, you know, because what did Eve see in that tree? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and that's what? It's not of the Father, but is of the world, and this world was contaminated by the devil. See? And so we can see it. We don't have to make an excuse for it. You know, just praise God. It is in His infinite mercy and grace He saved your soul and mine. And that's why we preach. And that's why we give, so that people, you know, around the world can be saved. We do everything that we can, you know, are capable of doing to make it possible for people to hear this message, you know. But the world, sadly, would rather rejoice in its own sense of goodness, you know, and that's a shame. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and thank You for Your marvelous truth of Your Word, and we recognize as in Adam all die, so in Christ all who are in Christ shall be made alive, and we praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.